So today's quote says, if you don't know where you're going, you will probably end up someplace else. I like that. Today's talk is called Changing Behaviors or Changing Goals. Some of us have had goals, and then suddenly we realized I would have to change my way of thinking. And I don't want to do that, so I'm going to change my goal. For me to live in love, I would have to also live in forgiveness. And that's just too much to ask. For me to live in prosperity, I would have to live in love. And that's just too much to ask. For me to live in health and well-being, I would have to live in love. And that's just too much to ask. Because to live in love is also to live in prosperity. Now, I had a goal, I had a lofty goal of living free and happy and joyous. That was one of my goals. But who has time for that? You know, I'm just too busy being angry and unforgiving and afraid of love. There we go. One woman testified, yeah, that's me. I'm not going to say who, no names. But to realize, perhaps there is another way. There is a way to attain our goals. You know, Edwin Gaines in the Four Spiritual Laws of Prosperity, she said, what are the four laws? Tithing, forgiveness, finding your purpose, and setting goals. And it's not one or the other. Jesus' commandments is love God, love yourself and your neighbor, and it's all at the same time. It's not, well, love God, because that's nice. And that seems like it's an easy thing. If you're not paying attention, it's an easy thing. And, I guess I could love myself, but I'm not getting to my neighbor anytime soon. But the thing is, if I don't love my neighbor, I don't love God. And again, that's one of the reasons people are leaving church. You know, or they go to a more traditional church where they're not really, where that's kind of glossed over. And I talk about it relentlessly. Because I fear, let's go for the hard stuff first in our spirituality, so then we can get to the happy, joyous, and free. A lot of people, they walk into Unity, they hear happy, joyous, and free. Oh, I'm coming back here. This is my church. And I never see them again. That's happened more than several times over the years. You are my minister. I am here every week. And literally, I've never seen them again. I don't know what happened because I never hear from them again. But to realize us stalwarts who keep coming back, we know there's something to this. Even if we've not attained that goal of spiritual freedom, we know that there is something to this. There is a path to freedom. First within my mind, and then within my body. We know it's here, and we keep coming back. If you're anything like me, maybe you are, I keep searching for the willingness, that click within me that will set me free. That's the way I search for the willingness to stop drinking, and then it took 2 years to find the click for cigarettes. And the reason I wanted to quit smoking is because it was in the way of my prayer life. It was in the way of my relationship with God. I didn't have a God who looked down on me for smoking. My God couldn't have cared less whether I smoked or not, because my God is not a human being. And so my God doesn't breathe. It doesn't have to smell how awful I smelled. It wasn't concerned with that. It wasn't concerned with nicotine stains on my fingertips or my teeth. My God wasn't concerned. But I wanted more of my God. I really wanted. So I every day I looked, where could I be willing to do this? Where could I? And now I look for it with food. I look for it with shopping. I look for the click. That or anything that I do that I'm afraid to not do. You know, I must have this candy bar. I'm afraid not to. I'm afraid to sit with how I'm going to feel if I don't have this candy bar, if I don't say this funny thing, I'm afraid to not do something for fear of I'm not going to know myself yet again. See, when I stopped drinking, I didn't know myself anymore. When I stopped smoking, I didn't know myself anymore, or who I thought I was. Other behaviors, when I have participated in a fast from gossip, criticism, and complaining, I didn't know who I was. I just didn't know. You know, I grew up in a household where if we had only said nice things about other people, we'd have had very short conversations. Because we didn't know what to talk about unless it was a criticism, a complaint. It was something, because we didn't have, one thing, I'd never heard of unity as a kid. I'm sure that, I know there wasn't one in my town growing up, because there isn't one now. And, but to look at that, so, but we set out on goals in our lives. It's like New Year's resolutions. Has anybody here ever had a New Year's resolution that didn't last to January 2nd? Anybody here ever had a goal to diet? And that didn't last till January 2nd, you know, or the equivalent. And a lot of times we set these goals out of shame. We set these goals because we think we're bad. I'm bad that I weigh this much. I'm bad that I smoke. I'm bad that I drink. I'm bad that I eat this. I'm bad that I do that. So I set a goal to not do it anymore. And it's not like I will become good once I do it. That wasn't the point. See, we're not bad people trying to become good. Let us become good people trying to become spiritually healthy. Around, you know, in the whole circle. We're not aiming for perfection. I think we're aiming for confidence. Confidence within our thinking to know that if we think and say and do what we know darn well is the next right thing to think, say, and do, we're still safe. And it will be safe if we don't know who we are anymore. See, we've become, some of us have become our behaviors, our habits. And so they're so ingrained in us, we're afraid to risk letting them go, even though life might be so much easier. It might be that, well, imagine that you might never again be upset in traffic. Imagine that you could appreciate the weather no matter what it is. Imagine you could appreciate your neighbors no matter what they think or who they vote for. Imagine the freedom that is available to us right here, right now, just by changing our thinking, by changing our thoughts, and welcoming in the true thinking. What is the true thinking? That which has no opposite. What is a true thought? You have to go with that. For instance, to me, love is a true thought. My understanding of love is not. My understanding of love keeps changing. It keeps shifting. God to me is a true thought. But what I think God is not. Because that keeps changing. That keeps shifting. I remember when I started my healing journey a lot of years ago, and I kept thinking, oh, this is what God is. And then God went and changed on me. So as big as my God kept getting, I was still limiting it. Because there was even more to God than what I had imagined or what I had felt up to this point. It's just that what I was feeling right up to this point was so much bigger than it had ever been. I couldn't even imagine it being bigger than that. And then it was. And then not only did it get bigger, it got different. And that's the disconcerting part. Because as it got different, I got different. Some of my fears weren't there anymore. And it's like, wait a minute, I'm not afraid here. What's going on? I should be afraid. I should be concerned. I should be worried. And I'm not. I don't understand. It's like I told you a few weeks ago when I walked the labyrinth at Unity Village on that Friday afternoon before I came home. And then I got on a plane that day, which was fine. I'm not afraid of planes. But then I got on the Whitestone Bridge. And I wasn't afraid. And I thought, I'm supposed to be afraid here. I'm supposed to be in mortal danger right now, and I'm not. How interesting. And I could hear the voice saying, you're supposed to be afraid here, Sean. Go ahead and be afraid. But it's like, but I'm not afraid. Thank you. And the next day, we drove up to Rhode Island, and I wasn't afraid on any of those bridges. They were just bridges. They were roads to get me to where I want to go. And I will try the Delaware Bridge and see what we do with there. But I'm not, I don't have to be afraid is what I know right now. But I can still hear a voice telling me, the next time you're going south on 95, you're going to test that bridge. And it's like, but I'm not going there today. Shut up. Get thee behind me. Silly thinking. You know, I'm not going to Newport and those bridges today, and I'm not going to South 95 today. And I'm never going to another one in St. Pete. That's beside the point. Because but I need to pay attention. A wise teacher said how to attain goals. There's spiritual goals, and then there are earthly goals, physical goals. And one of my teachers said, whatever your goals are, make every step go in that direction. And I thought, well, isn't that simple and profound? Whatever your goal is, make every step go in that direction. So, you're walking in that direction. Are your doubts keeping footsteps in that direction? Or are they veering you sideways? And taking you off the path to your goal. So if let's say you're, what's a good goal today? It's a what?
Getting out of debt.
Okay, that's not a goal. No, okay. Prosperity is a goal.
Okay.
Getting out of debt is a shame-based way of thinking. Yes, but prosperity, solvency. Is the actual word.
Oh.
Solvency.
Okay.
It is, and so make every step you take towards that. Now, here's the thing about solvency. If I'm working towards solvency, I can't stop. Take this credit card, take this. Here, I'll buy this. And that. And so I don't want solvency. I want to keep buying stuff. I don't have the cash to buy it. Cha-ching, 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 cha-ching. And it's a hard one because we take on shame with that. Oh, see, I'm betraying God. I don't just think I'm betraying myself. I'm betraying God here. God has a way for me to be solvent, but I don't want that way because that means I will have to feel feelings of not buying stuff. And it's like, but this is the perfect thing. I will feel so good about myself if I buy this. Oh, I will be the sexiest person alive if I buy this. People will like me. They'll be impressed by me. Well, God wants me to have this. Clearly, I know. And so, to not buy it is another step towards my solvency. So it takes a lot of prayer. And so it seems to me the next step before I buy, on my path to solvency, is prayer. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It doesn't say seek ye first the avenue of religion. It says seek ye first the kingdom of God. Now, some of it, what is the kingdom of God? And I say, pray and find out. Find out through your practice, not your intellect. Let your daily prayer. And so therefore, it seems to me, your first goal is to find out about the kingdom of God. Before you seek solvency, before you seek to have a hit record, before you seek to have a hit song, before you seek to have a new job, before you seek to get 50 years in your company, before you seek tomorrow morning, before you seek dinner today, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Before you seek health and well-being, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Before you seek the healing of a relationship, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And so, and for most of us, before I seek the kingdom of God, I have to seek ye first. What is the kingdom of God? I've got to seek an understanding of that. And there's all, you can Google things, you can read in this book about stuff, you can read in your Bible, you can read in so many Unity books. Kingdom of God, truthunity.org is a great resource for finding out this kind of information. Truthunity.org, Mark Hicks. It's one of the most phenomenal New Thought websites I've ever encountered. I use it a lot for my research. Our church has tithed him. He just put out a new book, which is Charles Fillmore commentary on, I think, on the New Testament. And so, Charles Fillmore commentary. Mark Hicks is his name. And it's truthunity.org. I mentored him through... Truthunity.org. Yeah, we can give you just part of the name. I give you the whole name, truthunity.org. Mark, Mark's been around for a long time, but I had the pleasure and privilege, really, of mentoring him in the field program, and he was ordained a year ago. And I chose him when he came. I thought, I want to mentor him because I didn't even know him. I just loved I liked his work. And so I did, and we became nice friends through it. Anyway, so in setting a goal, once you have a goal, and you might have to break it your goal into smaller goals on the way to the big goal, but make every step going towards that goal. For instance, if you're going to Rhode Island, you probably don't want to drive to West Virginia to get there. That's not the fast route to get to Rhode Island from here. It might be a faster route from Mississippi, but it is not a faster route from Connecticut to get to Rhode Island. You get my point. Entering an Entenmann's eating contest is probably not the fast route to dropping weight. You know, it's delicious. It's not the fast. If your goal is to release weight, but then you got to look at, why is it I want to release weight? Well, and if it's just about fat shaming, that's not a good enough goal. If it's just about being bad, because you will get your goal and still have the shame. Got to pay attention. Okay, what is being on this? But the journey of getting to the goal is very important. Becoming healthy so you won't be unhealthy is not enough. Becoming healthy because it's normal and natural to be healthy, that's another story. And so, to go within and truly desire the thoughts that it takes to be happy, healthy, joyous, and free. To truly desire, and so to keep, do I desire these thoughts? And would I be willing to interrupt the thoughts that are a detriment to my goal? So as the talk title says, changing behaviors or changing goals. And some of us don't want to change our behaviors, so we change our goal. We change our desired outcome. Unity told me, that my teachers in Unity told me, I'm allowed to attain my goals. I have divine ideas. We all do. We have divine ideas, so they must be possible to experience. It's not to get the thing so that I will then be who I am. I need to accept I am who I am, and it takes me to get there. It doesn't take somebody else. But if it's got a name, somebody else has done it. You know, when I first had the thoughts of becoming a minister, and I thought, who am I? Who am I to become a pulpit minister? And I had seen Eric Butterworth, who was just such a genius in so many ways. And I saw Minister Paul at that time, who was funny and, you know, you go to his class, didn't even need to read the book to go to his class. I saw Edwin Gaines, who was the funniest person I've ever met in my life. And I thought, how am I going to do this? And immediately I heard in my prayer, Sean, I already have them. I need you. They're great. We need you. And you can take the best that you find in them and use it. You're funny. Don't be afraid to be funny. Just don't be unkind with it. And so you're smart. Some people think I'm a genius, and I laugh at those people. And I think, where do you sit on the scale that you think I'm that? But the thing is, sometimes they think I'm genius because I channel through me the very thing they needed to hear. And so we're all geniuses, aren't we? We all help people. All of a sudden, we're the ones. And so, in your goals, let me see what else I wrote here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Oh, yeah. So what, if you're seeking first to be, what needs to be changed or shifted in you in order to attain your goals? Because I know some people, you know, who are bigger in their field of professionalism and smaller. But, and some of them who haven't yet attained what their goal was. They said, but I did everything. And I said, no, you can't have or you would have attained the very thing you wanted. And the thing that when we say, I did everything, we did everything but changed the thought that needed to be changed. And I don't know what that thought is. You know, I worked with a guy within the 12-step fellowship, and when he relapsed and drank, and he said, I did everything. And I said, no, you didn't. You didn't pick up the phone and call somebody, and you drank. Those are two important things to do. If you want to remain sober, you need a fellowship and you need to not drink. You cannot drink and remain sober. How about that? You'd think that'd be pretty simple. But in that battle, but I have to drink for whatever reason. I have to eat. I have to do these drugs. I have to do this. I have to think this way. I have to yell at this person. And I have to proclaim I can't. See, the words I can't make us safe from the disappointment of failure. I can't. There is a goal changer rather than a behavior changer. I will change my goals with the words I can't. Another expression for changing my goals is they won't let me. They won't let me in the door. Nobody wants what I have. You know, those are goal changers, not behavioral changers. I haven't told this story in a long time. Years ago, I was teaching a class called Getting What You Want. It was based on a Frederick Bales book from Religious Science. It's a wonderful book, and all of a sudden I've gotten lost in the title of the book. It's an old book. But in the first week of the class, I was teaching for Unity of New York. I wasn't up here yet. I didn't know Norwalk, Connecticut existed at that point. But there were like a path to manifestation. And the start was idea. Get an idea. You know, ideas pop into our head that resounds with us. Idea. Okay, so make a plan for attaining what you want. Take an action towards attaining what you want, or maybe the action. And then finally, manifestation. That's pretty simple, isn't it? In our new thought thing. Idea, plan, action, manifestation. Idea, plan, action, manifestation. So, I had an idea. I want to be a minister. Minister in a church. This is what I wanted. So my plan was, I will go and ask Paul, the minister of Unity of New York, to make me a minister there. I think I might have been an ordained interfaith minister at that point. I know I was a licensed Unity teacher. But idea, plan, so that action, go out. So the plan was to go ask Paul. The action was to go in and ask him. So I knock, 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 go in his office. I said, I would like to admit you to do this for me. Now, what I didn't see in my four things was obstacle. And Paul's answer was no. I don't want to make you a minister here. I'm fine that you teach classes. I don't need you as a minister here. Well, how dare he? How dare he not want to? I had an idea and a plan. It's supposed to work out. My teachers told me. And so I thought, So I went back to my flip chart. The idea was good to be a minister, pastor. The plan was too small, is what I discovered. See, if he had done that for me, I never would have grown. And I would have been a thorn in his side. I think I was already a thorn in his side. I wouldn't have made any money doing it. It would have been to assuage my ego. Oh, look at me. I could tell, but I'm a minister at Unity of New York. And it was just too small. And I saw it clearly there. Oh, I need a bigger plan. And I heard it, Sean, you have to go pastor a church. Oh, I wince at the thought of it. I did not want to pastor a church. I wanted just to, I like the idea of it all, not the responsibility. But I heard, Sean, you have to do this. You need this in your experience, your life experience. And I said, yes. And a couple of weeks later, Andre called Unity of New York and said, we're looking for a part-time minister. I heard the phone call. I was in the office at the time. And I thought, oh, there's my church. Because I knew I had an agreement that I made with what I call God. I will do this. I'm not leaving David to do it. So it has to be commutable. And sure enough, Norwalk called. And a few months later, I became the minister here. Idea, plan, action, sometimes obstacle, and then manifestation.
Sean?
Yes, yes.
You are a minister at Unity of New York.
Well, that's, oh, yeah, I'm also a staff minister at Unity of New York now, and I get paid to do it. I forgot about that. Thank you. Yeah, a few years ago, I began to mentor the up-and-coming minister, and I mentored him through field licensing. I mentored the board there for policy and procedure and what have you. It's nothing that takes me away from here, but I get to serve in both places. And it's nothing to do with my ego. I do not walk through proudly. I am a minister. Most of it's online anyway. It's hard to walk through that. But so thank you for reminding me that, oh, hey. But to realize, oh, my goal was to serve as a minister, to be provided for financially by the universe, whether it was through the church or not, and to serve some more and to become a better practitioner. And so, a lot of that has happened, but I had to change behaviors. And over the years pastoring here, I've had to change a lot of my behaviors, a lot of grandiosity, a lot of thinking, I'll give up a lot of thoughts of lack and limitation. You know, what I've learned, I don't like saying we have a small church because I think we have a big consciousness. You know, how many people constitute small or large? In God, there's no lot of money and little money. In God, there's just is. And so I'm grateful for whoever is here. I'm not fretting, oh no, there's not enough people here. Oh no, there's not enough money. Oh no, there's not enough. I know what we need on earthly level, but I also know God is the source and the supply, whatever that means. And so, if I start to think lack thoughts, it's what do I need to change about my behaviors today? Not our goals of our church, not the goals of our spiritual home. And so, as that's happened, you've seen more and more events are being planned, more and more teams are being formed. Things are happening here, even though it doesn't always look like it on a Sunday morning when we start the service. But I look at you guys and I feel as rewarded as I did when we had 70 people a week. Or it is when I walk into, I'm a guest speaker in a church and there's 300 or 400 people. There's not a lot of those left. But there was. And I've spoken in what we call huge crowds. I've spoken in small crowds. The reward is always the same if the message is authentic. If the desire for growth is authentic. And so, I encourage you today, seek ye first the kingdom. Find out what that means. By all means, call me up. We can discuss it. I'm happy to discuss any of our spiritual principles, any of your ideas on it. I'm not here to argue with you on it. I am here to help with understanding and clarity and anything you wish to achieve or attain, just because you want to know what it feels like to do it. You know, if you want to win the lottery because you want to know what it feels like to win the lottery, if you want a new job because you want to know what it feels like to have a new job, if you want perfect health and mind and body just because you want to know what it feels like to experience that, it's okay. It is not selfish to want to be totally solvent and abundant on top of that. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be totally healthy in mind and body. Don't pray for a little when God can give a lot. It's already been given. Anything you could want, it's already been given. Now, affirm the willingness to experience it. Shift your behaviors and expand your goals if necessary. Thank you.